Hi, and welcome to Making It in Movie Making with me, Richard Biff. And today, my guest is Alex Heatrank. So do you want to tell me a bit about how when you first started making films, like how you kind of got into this?
Oh, yes. So I started when I was pretty young. So I was 13 years old, I think. So I decided who I want to be very early. And I knew that I wanted to move into this filmmaking direction, sort of. And so I started learning things and figuring out how to do stuff. So yeah, that was actually a pretty big advantage for me because I went to college and everything very early. So right now I'm 18 years old. And yeah, so there is two things. Who I am right now and where I want to be eventually. So right now I am an independent filmmaker and photographer as well as editor slash VFX artist. I also have a YouTube channel. So basically I do everything to just get my work out there. So I do music videos, short films, clothing campaigns, different photo shoots, basically any kind of thing that will help me to just get my work out there. And where I want to be eventually is I want to be a film director slash writer. So basically I want to direct films based on my own scripts.
And have you...
And as to where I am based right now, to be honest, I have no idea anymore because I used to be based in UK. Then I came back to my home country, Lithuania. I stayed there for a while. Now I am in Germany. And now I suddenly have this urge to just travel the world and, you know... So I don't know.
So did you end up in the UK following the filmmaking or was that just...
Oh, yes. So basically I came to UK because of the film school. So I was there for 3 years. And
you started that when you were how old? Because you say you went early. Like, how did you manage to go early? Like, how old were you when you started?
Yeah, so I moved to UK when I was 15.
Right.
Yeah, I just finished high school at that time, and then I came to UK right away and started the film school. And yeah.
Where did you study? Which film school was that?
That was Nottingham.
Okay, and when you were in Nottingham, I can see we've got like a few links there. So like what film did you make? Like, who did you meet? How far did you manage to kind of progress in your kind of aspirations while you were at Nottingham?
Basically, I didn't do many projects right away because I was 15. I just moved to another country by myself. So I was, at first I was just, I wasn't doing much at all. I was just meeting new people, trying to, you know, adjust to the new environment and stuff. And then on my first year, probably like half into the first year of the film school, I started working on my own projects. So I believe the first one that I did was a clothing campaign for a local brand or something like that. So I was doing a lot of my own projects independently. And as well as combining it with the client work. So I was traveling a lot to London because, you know, everything is happening there.
Right.
So I was just basically doing a lot of different projects. And yeah, that's what I was doing in UK.
So how did you find, like, your client work? Like, it's interesting that straight away you were kind of treating this as a business.
Oh, yeah. So... Well, the first time I started earning money with, you know, film or photography was I used to do freelance photography and videography. So I still do it sometimes. But basically what I mean by this is I'm shooting wedding videos or like basically any kind of client work that my clients want me to do. So a couple photo shoots, I don't know, all kinds of events or anything. And I also am working as a VFX artist. So I do special effects for music videos, for short films and all that kind of stuff. But I started by earning money doing photo shoots and videos for clients, for example, weddings and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And how did you kind of promote yourself to like find customers doing that?
Oh, actually, well, when I started that, that wasn't in UK, that was in Lithuania. So I started by...
But this is when you're like 13, 14, you're working in Lithuania.
No, well, no, I just started learning at like 13. So I did my first paid photo shoot probably when I was about to turn 15, maybe a bit earlier, but still. Well, in Lithuania, there is... So basically, there's this really cool thing where people are just the clients... Actually, they post on Facebook that they're looking for photographers and videographers and stuff for, you know, all sorts of things. And you don't even have to look for the clients because they're looking for you. So you're just commenting the links to your work. And if they like your work, they get in touch with you and stuff. Actually, when I moved to UK, I tried to do that. I tried to find groups where people are looking for photographers and videographers, but I didn't really find anything because, you know, I guess it just works different in UK.
Yeah, but, I think it seems really interesting to me because I don't, you know, to like hear this about Lithuania because it's not the kind of, well, I don't know anything about the country, to be honest, except for like where it is. And it's like, it's interesting to say people would reach out because yeah, like I've had a look at those kind of things before and there are groups, but it seems like it's mostly either paid advertising or just people recommend someone they already know. So it's interesting that people would just be going,
yeah, that's really cool because, well, it's a small country and the fact that this is happening, it's just amazing. So either the clients are reaching out and posting to, you know, all sorts of groups that they're looking for photographers or videographers and you can find work that way, or you can just write a post in this group and promote your services as well, and people will reach out to you. So you can just find work that way. So yeah, I was really surprised actually when I moved to UK and tried to do the same thing and like nothing happened really. So yeah, that's really cool.
Then how did you manage to kind of break out in the UK, because you did get some kind of paid work, like you say, going to London, doing things for them. So how did you
Well, in UK I've noticed that they're running ads on social media. Well, they pay for ads and, you know, they find work that way. So this is mainly how it works, and also referrals. So basically, if someone likes your work, they will recommend you to someone. Yeah, so it's that kind of thing. And well, I was pretty active on social media back then. So people started to notice my work. I started meeting new people. I was attending some events in Nottingham. There was, I don't really remember how it was called, but Tweet Up or something. It was a filmmaking related event that they organized in Nottingham. And well, I was attending that sort of things and just all kinds of meetups with, you know, creative people. And one time I went to London. It was a fashion event, I believe. I went there with my friend who does hair and makeup. And I met a designer there. And later we ended up traveling to Milan and New York together for the fashion weeks with them. So, so basically it was networking events, social media, people reaching out, you know, just contacting everyone, models, actors, whatever, recommending work, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
And then on the other side of this, you're big into VFX. I think the first time I kind of noticed your work is like you posted a short film somewhere and I was just like, this is amazing. Like this person really knows his After Effects. So like how did you get into kind of visual effects? Is that something you taught yourself and where did that begin?
Thank you, first of all. So actually when I started, when I was like 13, I wanted to become a VFX artist in the beginning. But then I kind of realized that, well, I want to write stories. I want to direct my own stories. So VFX is probably not where I want to be in the end. So I just realized that later. But basically, this is the reason I know so much about VFX, and I started learning. I started moving into, well, that direction, I guess. So I believe at the age of 14, I went to Russia and did some training there. So I did a training for the color grading in DaVinci Resolve, then I did a training for motion graphics, 3D modeling, and VFX. And I also did a training for Photoshop. So there is that. And also I have learned a lot about special effects from YouTube. It's actually a very underrated platform, I think, because, well, probably like 60% of what I know about VFX is what I have learned from YouTube. There's all sorts of tutorials, all sorts of channels that are really like extremely helpful. And not only in terms of special effects, there's videos about how to act on set, how to do things, how things work in the industry and everything. So I definitely learned a great deal from that. So there is the combination of training and teaching yourself from all these tutorials. So I didn't just like copy paste stuff that they are showing in the tutorials. I try to sort of watch it and put my own twist onto it, I guess. So basically I try to make it my own and learn that way, because, well, when you're just copy pasting stuff, it doesn't really do anything, because, well, you're doing this and yeah, you don't really learn anything new. And when you're thinking about how you can sort of, I don't know, add something new to it, make it your own, make it your own style and stuff, that's how you are like really learning and remembering stuff. And you can also discover a lot of new things on the way. So yeah, this is how I started learning about special effects.
Sounds really interesting. It's almost like you've taught yourself pretty much everything. You say you went to Russia for a couple of courses, but it just seemed like it's just been you seeking out the information for yourself using the internet largely for free.
Yeah, that was the beginning. I received the basics on that course, which was amazing. I don't think I could have found this information online. So that was definitely very helpful. And when I knew all this basic stuff, I started moving forward and just learning by myself. And yeah.
And have you, I might be wrong, but I think I've seen that you've also made your own tutorial videos now.
Oh yeah, I have started a YouTube channel recently, and I am posting special effects tutorials right now. Well, I'm not active at the moment, but I do have like, I don't know, 7 tutorials on there already or something. I don't know. But well, I do want
free to promote your channel. Feel free to promote your channel. Like, tell us what it is.
Oh, okay. Well, I really do want to focus on it though. Yeah, I do have big plans for YouTube. So I really want to start recording more tutorials soon.
So where does that fit in with your kind of plans to write and direct your own stuff? Is it special effects heavy things you want to make, or is it just whatever stories?
Oh, YouTube?
Just generally, like while you're still working for yourself, before you kind of move into, I guess, getting hired by some studio, like what's your kind of plans?
Oh, okay. So at the moment I am writing my own stories. So I am working on three scripts right now. And all this client work that I do, it's, I also have a full-time job here in Germany. So I do my full-time job, and I'm also working, I'm doing freelance stuff to, you know, earn some money. And basically, because I'm an independent artist right now, so I'm saving all this money for the budget for my next project. So yeah, I'm just writing and saving up money right now. I'm also looking into crowdfunding at the moment, but I don't know how successful I'm going to be at that. I do know a couple of people who did that, and it was pretty great, but I don't know if I can pull it off or not. So yeah, at the moment, I'm just figuring out a plan, how to move forward, writing, shooting, and working. So yeah.
And is the work you're doing, is that some way related, or is it just kind of a for the money kind of job?
The full-time job?
Yeah.
Oh no, it's just for the money. But the other freelance work that I do, it's yeah, it's special effects and stuff. I work remotely right now because of the coronavirus, obviously, so I can't shoot much. So I edit music videos and all that stuff. Yeah.
And is that now, like you were saying before, like referrals to like find the work for that, or is that word of mouth, like people who know you, like where are you promoting yourself? And you say that's international, so like where's the work coming from for the music video editing?
Okay, yeah, so I do have a few clients that are that I'm working with for a pretty long time. So there are a few directors that I work with, and we have worked on many music videos together, so I do have that work at the moment. Also, I have a few other artists that we have been working on for a few projects, really. So I guess that counts as referrals, because, well, we have a background together. But other work I find on Facebook. So I look for international groups, international filmmaking groups, and I just post on there and, you know, just promote my services. So yeah, actually a lot of people tend to reach out, which makes sense, I guess, because there's like a lot of followers there, and it's a filmmaking related group. So that's like a really great way to promote your services, especially when you are an independent filmmaker, because you don't always have a budget for anything, really. So you don't have like thousands of dollars to pay for Facebook ads or whatever. So Facebook groups are like a really great way to promote your services.
And what kind of setup do you use? I mean, like what level are you at in terms of equipment and like the things that you'll invest in for this? I guess it's a business, like for your
okay work. Yeah, so because I do both photography and filmmaking, I have a Canon 5D Mark IV with a couple of lenses. So that is a portrait lens, 50mm 1.2, then there's a wide angle lens, 24-70mm 2.8, and there is a, well, as well, a portrait lens, 85mm. Yeah, so that is the setup that I have. But usually for different projects, I am renting out the equipment, because, well, for every project, basically, you need different things. So if there is anything specific that the client will want, or if I'm working on my own stuff and I know I need something else, then I just find that it's easier to hire equipment than buy it. Because, well, yeah, over the past few years, I've used like different kind of setups for the projects. So yeah, I just figured out that it doesn't really make sense for me to buy any new equipment, and I will just stick to what I have, and if I need anything specific, I'll just hire it out.
Makes sense. So let's go back a bit then. So you're 13 when you decide, I want to be a filmmaker. Like, what are kind of the films, or like what experiences in your life made you think, okay, this is the thing I want to do, and then to commit to it so early? Because it is really rare that you kind of find someone who's like basically a kid and is like, I'm going to do this, and then follows through.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't think any movies or anything really inspired me, because I always had this like gigantic ambition to do something big with my life, I guess. And I also always had this desire to write stories, to well, I always had a big imagination since the childhood, so I knew I wanted to like do something with that, definitely. And when I believe I didn't even start with the filmmaking right away. So I, oh, actually, yeah, I remember. So I had a YouTube channel back then, a different one, where I was just fooling around and posting all sorts of like stupid videos. Oh, sorry, my phone just fell. So I was 12 back then, and yeah, so it wasn't really a cool content or anything. But basically when I was filming these videos, I just started noticing that I really like the shooting process and how it all works. And I started wondering how do they make all these special effects in the movies and everything. So this is how I sort of transitioned from making silly YouTube videos to considering filmmaking as my career path. And yeah, so to answer the question, the movies, I mean, I don't really remember any movies that inspired me specifically. I mean, I definitely did have my favorite movies and everything that I really like that have really cool atmosphere and stuff, but they weren't the reason I got into filmmaking, if that makes sense.
So what kinds of stories you want to tell when you start writing your own stories? Like, are there any kind of themes that you particularly want to get out there?
No, not really, because, I don't really want to stick to a specific genre. So, I really like adventure stuff. I really like horror, thrillers. I don't know. It will probably be a combination of two genres, but I don't really want to stick to anything. So I find that, even with the movies or music, for example, I don't have any specific genre or style. So if I like something, then I like something. And I don't want to, create these stereotypes in my head that I only want to, listen to one thing or something. whatever comes to my head, comes to my head. So yeah.
That's good. And like, in terms of scale, like you're talking about crowdfunding and things, but like, how long do you think it's going to be before you're kind of making a feature film, and like, what kind of size cast and crew would you?
That's actually what I'm writing right now. So I'm writing 3 stories at the moment. All of them are going to be feature films, definitely. One of them might be like a miniseries or something. I'm still trying to figure out what to do with it. But this is the project that I want to be working late this year or next year. So I'm hoping to turn it into something that will kind of be like my break into the industry. So I really have big hopes for that. I think I might start with the feature film either late this year or next year. Definitely. I think it's time for that.
And will that mean moving again to another country, or is this to be in Germany, or?
Oh, probably, yes. I'm actually thinking to shoot it in Russia. So I don't know. I have no idea where I'm going to live, like next year or even this year later, because I don't know. I just, I'm thinking to move to Iceland, then I'm thinking to move to UK to, I don't know. So I'm just figuring things out right now.
So it's interesting, like, how have you managed to have so much freedom where you live as well? You must have a kind of supportive family to be disappearing to England so early and then going off to Germany. And like, are you just kind of, I don't know, it seems like you're very independent.
No, not really, because for example, my parents do support me a little bit, but it's not like, I can just go wherever I want. So I can only go places where, I know I can, how do I say this? Basically rely on myself. For example, when I came to Germany, I already had a few of my friends here, and they basically took care of so they already found the apartment and everything, and the job as well. So I,
that sounds like a pretty good setup.
Pretty easy, yeah. So either people are helping me or I'm just looking for something, online. And then
what kind of creative work have you been, apart from your YouTube channel, have you been able to like get any freelance work while you've been in Germany, or have you not been looking because of pandemic and so on?
Well, yeah, I'm not really working at the moment. So if something comes my way, I just do that work. So it's mainly special effects right now, and all kinds of work that I can do remotely. So yeah, basically editing and special effects. And I'm also focusing on writing right now and just planning out my future, my projects, how I'm going to achieve all of these goals. Yeah, just making a plan for what to do next. So that's what I've been focusing on.
So what do you, so you kind of say your next plan is to do these feature films and maybe this mini series, but like what are you hoping to do with them? Like you've, what is your career plan? Like it seems like you've kind of mapped everything out more than a lot of people would have, so I'm just interested to hear.
Okay. So yeah, basically I want to, well, I'm saving up money for that film right now, and I might do a crowdfunding as well. So, and also it's still in the writing stages, in the pre-production stages. But well, my goal with that is to hopefully get it distributed by a network. I don't know, like Netflix or something. I know it's a bit crazy, but well, I do have hopes for it. Maybe, maybe we'll be successful. Who knows? And while I was in UK, I made quite a few connections, which is really cool. So hopefully we'll be fine. I have no idea what will happen, but well, that is what I'm working towards right now. So I'm just planning things out and seeing what I can do with that. How far can I go and everything? But yeah, I basically, the point is that I want to create something that will be my break into the industry, because I want to create something cool that will just click with people and, you know, be a start of something in my career.
And when you say break into the industry, do you want to kind of be hired as, you know, some sort of role in a larger production, or do you want to kind of make independent films until you get recognized to the point and you're being hired as a director?
Yeah, well, I would like to stick to the independent path because, well, like I said, I want to direct my own scripts in the end. And, well, I don't know, because I want to have freedom, like creative freedom over my projects, which is a bit crazy in the industry because it doesn't really work that way. But yeah, it's a bit hard to try and figure out how to do this because usually you don't really have that much control over your projects when you are working with something bigger. So I have no idea how it's gonna go. But yeah, I would really like to stick to the to making independent films and not just work for some company or something.
And have you thought about how you'd go about finding an audience for your films? Like you mentioned getting on Netflix or on the streaming platforms, but what would the process of getting on those platforms be? Or like how would you find an audience otherwise, do you think?
Well, that is a great question right now. That
I mean, I'm asking
is
as
what I'm
much for
still
myself
trying to
as for
figure
you.
out. No, that's just something that I'm trying to figure out right now. So these are the plans that I'm talking about, because it's really hard in this industry to, you know, get your project distributed or like get funding or something, because you know, when you're starting out and nobody really knows about who you are and you're trying to, you know, do something big, that's, you know, it's like a 50-50 chance. You know, you can either succeed and achieve all your goals, or you can just stay nowhere. So I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely something to think about, because you know, Facebook ads won't work anymore here. Let's just put it this way.
Have you got experience trying to use Facebook ads then?
To promote the projects, or
Yeah, well, just for anything, like to promote yourself, to promote projects. I know you were talking about joining Facebook groups, and it seems like the kind of active networking might be more useful than the, because there's paid Facebook adverts, aren't there? So I was wondering, like, if you've tried that method at all, or if it's mostly just been putting yourself out there and connecting.
Oh, yeah. People. So I definitely did post a lot in the Facebook groups, and I also have tried Facebook ads. They do work, actually. I did get some client work from that, and also I did it for a few of my projects. For example, the recent one that I did, it's a Game of Thrones inspired short film. Well, it's like a mix between a short film and a video. I'm not really sure what to call it, but the point of that project was to show off the VFX kind of side of things, the visual side of things. So yeah, I did try Facebook ads with that. It does work pretty well. But I don't know, like, it wouldn't really work if you're working with something bigger. For example, like, if you're trying to advertise your, I don't know, well, it could work for short films and stuff like that, but not for something bigger than that. So yeah, it does really, I find that it's a great way to basically start promoting your film, because you get this this base, sort of. You get some kind of audience just clicking on your video. You get some kind of, like, you know, attention, some comments, views, and everything. And then people start discovering your work more and more. And well, it's definitely a great start. So I definitely recommend doing that. And also, if people don't really have an opportunity to pay for the Facebook ads, there is a lot of really cool Facebook groups, and that's a really great way to promote your work as well, because you don't really, well, it's free of charge, and you do get some of these clicks and comments and subscribers and everything. So yeah.
So it's interesting that you can kind of use Facebook, like, ads or Facebook groups as a way to kind of promote your services as a freelancer and make money from filmmaking that way. But it seems to me, like, as an independent filmmaker, there's, like, a little bit of a struggle. Like, on the one hand, you want as many people as possible to, like, watch the short film that you've made or the music video that you've made. But then on the other hand, there's this kind of, okay, well, I've made this thing that's, well, it's now my property, you know, it's my IP, so surely I should be making money from this. So where do you think the point is that you go from, okay, as many people as possible watch this thing that I've made for free, to I'm going to start charging people to watch this, and people are going to want to watch it so badly that they just pay to watch it? Like, where's that kind of crossover, do you think?
Oh, yeah, it's not really going to get you paid for anything. So, I mean, it doesn't really get your money that you invested in the project back. I mean, if you have a pretty big YouTube channel, then yeah, maybe, because you are earning money from YouTube videos, from commercials that, you know, that are ads that are in the beginning of the video or in the middle or something. So I know a lot of photographers, especially, who made YouTube who made this platform as basically their first source of income. So basically, they are earning money for a living making YouTube videos, and, you know, it's actually a really great thing if you want to do that. But yeah, it doesn't really get you anywhere, you know, in the filmmaking, in terms of, like, getting your money back. So it's only great if you want to promote your work and just get it out there. But, well, yeah, it's not really going to do anything financially, really. So what I've been doing for the past few years is I've been making projects to just gain more following, more attention for my work, and yeah, basically having people discover my work, subscribing to, you know, my social media platforms, my YouTube channel, and everything. So it did make sense for me to do that, to advertise my work on, you know, Facebook or paying for the ads or all, you know, all that kind of stuff. I didn't really expect to get anything from it because, basically the point was just to have people discover my work. So because I didn't really want to get any money back from these projects, I didn't really care about all that stuff. So yeah, it did make sense for me, but Facebook isn't really going to get people anywhere if they want to get the money back from their projects. You need to do something else for that.
So when you've made this feature film, when you've made your first feature film, like, what do you think the plan will be for that? Like, will that be find an audience the same way that you've been doing, like, to just get people to see it, to like build your brand more? Or will, like, where will the point be where you're like, okay, now I'm going to sell my films?
Oh, definitely no. Definitely not Facebook.
But I just mean generally. So like I'm saying, imagine that you've made your feature film now. Like, what do you want to do with the completed film? Like, how is it just about finding an audience still, or is it then going to be, okay, I need to kind of, is it about finding an audience, finding a job, or is it about making money from the film
itself?
Well,
it's both, I suppose, because I do hope that it will be, attract a new audience, that people will discover my work more, that I will get more work from that as well. And I also want to actually get something from it this time. So I want to sell it get it out there somehow. So yeah, I just want both of these things, I suppose.
And where do you, like, what's your kind of dream career path? Like, where do you want to end up ultimately?
Well, basically the stories that I've mentioned that I'm working on right now, I'm working actually on two of these scripts for like, I don't know, 1 year and a half probably. And I'm still going to be working on them for a pretty long time, I think. So my goal would be to just actually make them into the film one day, or a book and a film. So it's not really where I want to be in the end, where I want to live, or where I want to, you know, make films or anything. But my goal would be to just actually have them produced, have them made into a real, you know, product that people can watch. So, yeah.
Is there anything else that you like want to talk about the skills that you're like promoting, or like what you do? I mean, there might be people listening to this looking for someone. I mean, what is it that you want to be doing more of?
What do you mean?
I'm not sure what I mean. I just basically what I'm trying to do is like see if there's anything else you want to talk about. So we've spoken about your visual effects, we've spoken about the films that you want to make, we talked briefly about living in all these different countries. Like, it's just interesting that you're so kind of like you're on this path and you know what it is that you want to do. I suppose what I'm trying to work out is like, what other things do you want to learn? Like, what other experiences do you want to have as part of this? Like, why do you want to be a filmmaker? Like, what is it that spurs you on?
Well, it's a great question, actually. Well, I suppose I don't only want to like tell my own stories or something, but well, obviously I do want to do that. I want the world basically to share my vision with the world, with the people, but also my goal with, you know, writing and everything was always to change something in the world, for, you know, make it a better place, leave it a better place after myself. I don't know how to explain this, but so I don't really want to make pointless films, pointless art. I just want to put some meaning into it, and just combine the visual side of things with the meaning. So that was always my goal. I always wanted to, you know, just influence something, change something, and that is what I will try to do with my writing, my art in general. And like the projects that I have worked on previously, they aren't really, they don't really have that much meaning or anything. It was just to basically get my work out there. So it was mainly focused on the visual side of things. So the next ones will definitely, I really want to show off my style as a filmmaker. I also want to, you know, just show people what I am capable of, what I want to do. I'm just hoping that it will not only be my break into the industry, but also, you know, I want to just show off my style, show off what I can do, and hopefully this will get me somewhere.
So are there sort of specific ideas or themes that you want to put into your work? You say you want it to kind of have like a personal mark, and there's like ways that things that you want to change. Like, are there kind of like political ideas or personal ideas? Like what are some of the things that you want to share with people?
Well, I suppose it's a combination of both. If that's okay, I would rather not talk about it just yet.
Okay.
I would rather just, I'm pretty bad with words when it comes to explaining that kind of thing, because I always was that kind of person that, you know, I think a lot. I have a lot of feelings, a lot of, you know, thoughts and everything, but I can't really like express them with just words, just talking to people or anything. So this is why art is so great for me, because I can just, I can communicate my ideas without really talking. So, I don't know if that makes any sense, but.
I think so. So you've got your kind of photography and your VFX and your filmmaking and all these things. Are there any kind of other artistic like passions that you have in your life that kind of feed into this? Like, I'm just wondering where it all comes from. Like,
I want to write, but not only scripts. I also want to write books, hopefully. So that's also another thing that I kind of that I am into. Maybe I'll have like a book one day that I will make into a script and then into a film. I do enjoy like many things related to art. For example, I really like music. I really like, I don't know, I even tried to make music once. It was terrible, but I like protest. I also like singing, dancing, all that stuff. But, well, I'm not good at it, so I stay out of it. I don't really show or share it with people. But, you know, it's just something that I enjoy, something that I, you know, that makes me feel better. Also drawing. You know, I'm just like a really creative person. I like all the things related with art. But yeah, I'm really not good at these things, so it's better if I just keep it to myself.
And I find quite a few filmmakers end up acting as well. Do you have any interest in doing that?
Oh, actually, yes. I did want to become an actor at some point. I still do, actually. I really wouldn't mind acting in a few films. Maybe I'll even act in, you know, my film one day. It's really cool. Yeah, I also did. I remember I did modeling for like a few months when I was 15, I think. So, oh my God, yeah, it's really cool. I would really like to do it someday. But actually, well, yeah, that's actually another thing that I have learned a lot from. So basically, as a director, having some kind of acting experience is really cool, because you can really understand how people feel in front of the camera, how you should talk to them, how you should, you know, communicate your ideas, your everything. it really did help me out. So yeah, it was definitely a really great experience. I remember I acted in a few like scenes as an extra, and then I also did another project where I actually had like a dialogue scene. I was really, oh my God, I was so nervous. That's crazy. But it's also great because I started feeling less and less shy in front of the camera, especially when I tried to do modeling. So, I mean, I would really recommend this for anyone really who wants to become a director, because, you know, even if your goal isn't to become an actor or anything, it's really, really cool to just have that experience, because you really realize a lot of things on the way. So yeah, it's really cool.
And how are you as a director, like on set, like do you enjoy working with actors and like kind of being the boss, like giving people instructions? Like, how's that experience for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. I really do enjoy that. But I don't know how good I am as a director. I suppose that's for actors to to say to work with me. But well, I hope I'm good. I don't know. I mean, sometimes I feel that I'm not given enough instructions or anything, but well, we ended up making the project somehow. So I guess it's saying something. But yeah, I mean, all the people I've worked with were just amazing. We're really just, you know, I really enjoyed making all these projects that I worked on myself. So yeah, it was really amazing.
Okay, so do you want to talk to me about some of the short films or even music videos that you've made that you kind of want people to look out so we can see what you do? Like, what have been some of your favorite experiences, things that we can maybe find on the internet and look you up?
Okay, so my personal favorite one would probably be the recent project that I did. It's a Game of Thrones inspired short film. Well, it's the one that I have talked about previously, where it's like a mix between a short film and a video. So yeah, basically the point of that project was to focus on the visual side of things. It's called West of Westeros, which is a quote from Game of Thrones. You can find it on YouTube. There is also a VFX breakdown from this project as well on my channel. So it was shot in the, when was it shot? I believe it was the end of 2019. So we shot it, in Dorset in UK. It was a really beautiful location. The weather was amazing. I mean, it was raining a little bit, but still. So I just, you know, I really enjoyed making that one, and the special effects took just so long to make. It was, oh my God. I believe I've spent like half a year working on special effects. yeah, it was a pretty long process, but I'm really happy with, you know, how it turned out and everything. So that was probably my favorite one to work on. And the actress from that video, she's a model and an actress based in London. She's Russian as well. I really liked working on that one. But the one that people always reference from my work is a 19th century inspired fashion film. It's hard to explain, really. Like a fashion film, but it's a 19th century fashion film with like big costumes and everything, you know, basically like a 19th century look. So there was a point in my life where I really enjoyed working on, you know, clothing campaigns and fashion videos in general. I still really like them. But yeah, so I tried to do something like that, but with 19th century outfits. So,
and what's the name of that one?
It's literally called a 19th century fashion film.
All right, okay. So it's kind of to the point. I get it.
Yeah, it's on YouTube as well, or on my Instagram. I post all of my work on Instagram. So it's either there or on YouTube. Actually shot this one in Lithuania. in my home city. So, yeah.
And when you're talking about doing the effects, do you use kind of practical in-camera effects, or, and I mean, you must use costumes, or is the majority of stuff you do kind of post-production?
It's, well, yes, the majority is post-production. I do practical effects sometimes, but, well, it's crazy actually, because I do like practical effects. Well, I wouldn't say more, but yeah, I really like them, but I always somehow end up working and doing everything in After Effects, which is crazy. Rotoscoping is like my least favorite part. Oh my God. Yeah, so I do a lot of just, I leave a lot of stuff for post-production, definitely. Well, also it depends on the project, because sometimes you just, well, you know, sometimes you want it to be more practical, sometimes you want it to be all done in post-production. But yeah, well, I've had shots that I have worked on for a week, literally, like a week for one shot. For example, with this Game of Thrones video, it was pretty much like one shot a week, because there was a lot of rotoscoping, there was a lot of masking, a lot of 3D modeling, all sorts of things. So yeah, this is the reason it took so long to make. But yeah, it's always different, obviously, but mostly I do everything in post-production.
And so how long, I mean, I suppose you're still learning, but like how long have you been teaching yourself to like all the ins and outs of After Effects and post-production and all these other little tricks that you've got? Like how long have you spent teaching yourself?
Well, the first experience ever that I had with like post-production software was, I was 12 years old back then. So that was when I made the silly YouTube videos. I think the program that I used back then was Sony Vegas or Premiere Pro. No, it's probably Sony Vegas. But anyway, so when I was 13, I actually started using After Effects for the first time. And it looked really complicated. I don't know, I didn't really understand anything. So yeah, I tried to learn something for probably like a year, but well, I did learn a few things, but not much. So I actually started like really learning when I went to Russia to do the training. So that's where I was taught the basics, and also like I got into 3D modeling stuff. Yeah, so from that point, I just started like seriously learning about the software. And well, after I've known the basics, it was pretty easy for me to just continue learning from the tutorials and everything and try to, you know, recreate them, add my own twists, experiment with all sorts of effects, try to make something new, something, yeah, just, yeah, so I guess I started when I was 14. Like seriously.
And would you recommend people to take like training courses for the basics, or do you think that people could pretty much teach themselves everything if they had to?
Well, I think depending on the situation, because if you do have money to spend on the courses, then yeah, it really is a great thing to start with, because well, you do have YouTube tutorials, right? But when you are actually doing the training, you have someone that you can ask about, you know, things you are doing wrong. It's basically like college or like university or something. You can make mistakes. You can ask people what went wrong. You can ask for advice. You can talk to someone. And well, I was taught things that I would probably never discover online. So it really did help me out. So I would definitely recommend doing that if you have an opportunity. But if not, there is like a lot of YouTube videos that can help you out, like literally from start to finish. So yeah, basically I would say depending on the situation.
And are there kind of particular YouTube channels that you would recommend for people who are trying to learn?
Mine.
Okay, let's see. Which one's yours? What's your YouTube channel so we can look you up? We'll do all this social stuff.
Oh, it's just my name, Alex Trenko.
Okay, and is that the same on your Instagram and Twitter and whatever else you use?
Yeah, I also have an Instagram. It's also my name, so Alex Tchenko everywhere. Yeah, I do try to do videos that are, you know, I try to explain everything in detail so that people who aren't really professionals in this field or anything have an opportunity to actually learn things. And, you know, I try to not make it very complicated. So, yeah. Also, I do answer comments all the time if people have questions or like have problems with the process or anything. So, yeah. Also, other channels that I have personally learned from are Film Riot, Cinecom.net. These two have like a lot of amazing videos. There's also Video Copilot. There's actually, I had a list somewhere, but well, okay, I can find it right now. But yeah, actually, when you start looking for like, you know, YouTube tutorials, you just type in something on YouTube and there's like a bunch of different channels. And that's how I discovered many of them. So I was just, you know, looking up a specific effect. For example, I wanted to learn how to do like creepy eyes or something. So I just looked up Black Eyes tutorial After Effects. There's like a lot of channels, and I went through many of these channels, and I basically looked through them if they have any other helpful videos, and if they have any other cool videos, then I just subscribe and, you know, wait for more and learn that way. But Film Riot and oh my god, yeah, basically Film Riot was the main one that I've learned from, because they have so many special effect tutorials, that's crazy. But also they do a lot of videos where they just teach you about film industry in general, and they are independent filmmakers pretty much. So they do a lot of that stuff, and they share a lot of stuff that is very helpful for people who are starting out. So, yeah, I've learned so much from that channel, literally. Like I said, I just received the basics on the course, and also like some things that I wouldn't really find online. For example, 3D modeling as well. And I did get to ask like a lot of questions, because while I didn't really know that much about, you know, the process of making special effects back then. So I remember just being so inspired by movies like Lord of the Rings and stuff, where they have these, you know, giant fight scenes with like monsters and everything. And I was like, how the hell do they do that? How can I create these, you know, creatures and stuff? So it was really helpful, because not only did I learn things and, you know, how to use the software and everything, but I also got to communicate with the tutor and ask a lot of questions that, you know, I didn't have answers to. So yeah, but then also I did learn a lot of, you know, 3D modeling stuff online as well. I don't really remember the names of the channels, because I believe there's like, there isn't like any specific channels that have all these tutorials and 3D modeling. So I basically had a lot of different channels, different videos that I've learned from. And yeah, I mean, I don't do like too much 3D stuff. So I would say I know the basics. Well, I did do like a dragon for the Game of Thrones video, but like more complicated stuff, I don't know. I'm not really focusing that much on that. I mean, that much on this kind of thing. So,
so is there anything else that you want to share, or just advice to other people?
Well, I mean, I can give some advice, but like, it's pretty obvious, but it's a really great advice that I should use more. So the best way to learn to make films, to do special effects, basically anything filmmaking related, is to practice. So write, shoot, edit, do that all over again. Yeah, this is how I learned. This is how I mean, it's really important to make mistakes in the beginning, because right now I can just do my own projects. I can make all these mistakes. I can just I can learn from them. I can just work with actors, find out how to do this, how to, you know, communicate my ideas better. So yeah, it's just, you know, practicing, and then you get something out of it eventually, and you get better. It definitely is obvious, but I don't know why we'll always forget it. So
I think people just kind of need permission to fail. I think everyone kind of has this thing like, oh, well, I'm not going to be good at that, so I can't try. Like, well, even on a subconscious level.
Yeah, the thing is, many people are just scared of failing. So that is, I guess that's what I was trying to say. So don't be afraid to fail in the beginning, because you're just, you know, you're scared of everything. You're scared to just mess up, you know. You're scared to reach out to people, to try things, to, you know, you're just scared that something will go wrong. But really, like, what is the worst thing that can happen? What do you have to lose? You know, so yeah. I actually have to repeat this to myself all the time, because there are moments where I'm just scared to do something. Then I'm like, okay, so what is the worst thing and what is the best thing that can come from that, you know? So that is something that really helps me out with, you know, making steps further, I guess. Sometimes it's just even simple things as reaching out to someone. So I have met one filmmaker. He's actually 16 years old. That's crazy. And we met on a film set. And really, I did learn something from him, because he said this phrase that really, that basically that I remember for like a long time. You don't ask, you don't get. So that is really simple, but oh my God, like, come on. So important to just, you know, It sounds really simple, but it actually helps you out so much, in, you know, when you're making decisions.
Well, it's been really kind of, well, it's been really interesting talking to you, and I feel like I've learned quite a bit, and I hope that people listening learn a lot and go and, you know, look you up.
I really like talking to you, too.
You, for you, me. No, it's been good. It's been great. It's been different, because I haven't had anyone who does quite what you do before, and so I think it's good for the podcast, you know, to kind of branch out and reach people who are trying to make it in movie making in different ways. And this one's been a really good one for me, and hopefully for everyone listening too. So with any luck, we'll see your subscribers shoot up, because they're all listening to this, and I'll see all mine shoot up, because they're all listening to you.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah, we'll see.
And who knows, maybe we'll get to work on something together at some point.
Yeah, that would be amazing.